looking at the topic of prayer, many of you might expect me to preach a Christmas sermon today, but I'm preaching, continuing on prayer today. And because the story of Christmas is also a story of prayer, many of you will be surprised. But let's go on. So we've been looking at the topic of prayer, right? Can anybody tell us something we've learned about prayer in what we have been learning over the last few weeks? This is where it becomes like a classroom. Nobody wants to see it. I have to start pointing out people to talk. Can anybody? Sister Yabo, you want to say something? Okay. Anybody who's been here? Brother Cho. Sorry? Prayer becomes a lifestyle. Thank you. And I hope you are making it your lifestyle. Anybody else? So Brother Cho has broken the ice, so we can now freely speak, right? Can I also really speak? Rahim, you have something? Anybody else? All right, let me help you. We talked about prayer, that many prayers, we don't find it easy or find answers because we're not what? Eh? Hungry, thirsty. So the evidence of that is that by the time we finish prayers, we've forgotten what we prayed about. Like you said, our mind is not there. So we say prayers rather than pray. For many of us, it's difficult to pray because we actually don't know how to pray. And we remember the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, did they know how to pray? No, initially they did not. That is why they came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And we looked at, if you are going to teach somebody something, if you are going to teach somebody math, do you begin from calculus? What do you begin from? 1 plus 1. So the easiest form of 1 plus 1 in prayer is what we call our Lord's Prayer. But you don't stay there in prayer. You go from that to even bigger things. Also, we learned that when we come to the place of prayer, we have to believe. Without believing, how can we receive of God? We have to believe that God can answer prayers. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that whoever comes to God must believe that God exists. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not only seek him, but who diligently seek him. We also, in the Bible, read that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. The effectual, fervent, fervency, diligence, prayer of the righteous person, it avails much. And so today we're going to go into the why of prayer. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Can you all hear me well? Okay, because this mic doesn't look like it has a lot of, like the last one. Okay. Is the level good for you? All right. So the why of prayer. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, we read of the Lord's Prayer, the disciples of the Lord coming to him, the Lord teaching them to pray. That Matthew 5, 6, and Matthew 7, it's all combined into what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It was a big lesson for those who came to hear him. And part of it, towards the end of chapter 6, it says that Jesus Christ was teaching those around him, and his disciples with the crowd, and saying that, look, when you come to the place of prayer, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. What you will drink, what you will eat, what you will put on are the essentials of life. They're the basic necessities of life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on, is that a want or a need? It's a need. So those are the basic things about life. He said, don't worry about them. He said, your Father knows that you need them, and he will give them to you. So if the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples that all these things, your Father knows that you need them, and he will give them to you, why then do we pray? Thank you. Oh, she stole my sermon today. Oh. She said, is it for relationship? That is the number one reason why we come into prayer. You see, we've been taught many times that when we come to prayer, we should have a list of things we want to ask God for. We learned that many of people who prayed, there was a hunger in their heart for a singular focus. But the primary reason why we come to prayer, the primary reason why the Lord Jesus Christ did not teach his disciple that when you come to pray, start like this: give us our daily bread each day. Where did it start? Why? That's it. We start with the relationship with the Father. We start with the knowledge that we are children, sons and daughters of the Most High. So when you look at how the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, the most important part was where he started: our Father who art in heaven. That is the number one place. And if that is number one, what would be the last thing? What's the last thing he taught them there? No, that he was closing the prayer, is that it's the kingdom. Out of the lines, what he was asking, what's the last thing? Students of the Bible, what's the last thing there? All of you are counting it down. Like 1, 2, 3. All right. No, that's not the last thing for me. What's the last thing? No, that's the closing of the prayer. He was closing prayer in that one. So when he opened the prayer, our Father who was in heaven. Okay, just like when he's closing, when you close a letter back then, greet this person. But that is not the bulk of, that is not the core of the letter. That's not the body of the letter. Thank you for the English majors. The body of the letter will be, all you guys, you've been doing this. No, don't do it again. Start doing this. And then when you are closing the letter, you will say, greets Eodia, greets Kemi and Tenny in the house of Cleopatras, you know. But the body of the letter, the body of the prayer, what's the last thing in the body of the prayer? Thank you, mommy. Deliver us from evil. Oh, yeah, that's it. Start with our Father who art in heaven. He didn't start with deliver us from evil. Our Father who art in heaven. If you look at it, the most important things are our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. You know that when he was teaching them also, he said, seek ye first words, the kingdom. So these are the most important things in prayer. He didn't start with, give us this day our daily bread. So when we come before God, the beginning of our prayer cannot be, give us this day our daily bread. The bulk of our prayer cannot be, deliver us from evil. In many quarters, this has become the predominant thing. Deliver us from evil or give us this day our daily bread. But we have to come back to the why of prayer. Because the why of prayer informs the what we pray. If we don't know why we pray, we will fill our prayers with what we don't really need to pray about. The number one thing about prayer, why we come to prayer, is relationship with our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, many times when he wanted to pray, the Bible says he will go out very early in the wee hours of the morning. You know, in my own imagination, the Bible didn't tell us what hour, but I imagine the hours when nobody is really around in the morning will be like 3, 4, 5 in the morning. He will go out into a solitary place. And when he taught them to pray, he said, go into your closets. You see, the closet back then, there were two translations that they gave to the word translated closet. One was like a tent. And there was something that the Jewish rabbis did when they pray. They will use their prayer shawl, cover their head for privacy. Also, the second meaning there was every Jewish house had a closet, like a storehouse, where they put their, we call it pantry today. Or sometimes you might call it your wardrobe. It was a secret chamber, an inner chamber. So it connoted privacy. And it doesn't mean that you haven't prayed if you can't find an inner chamber. It doesn't mean that you haven't prayed if you can't find a prayer shawl. Sure. Jesus Christ, I guess he went out because he had no privacy in the home. So he went into a place that it could be solitary. The whole idea of it is that you come to a place where you can be alone with your Father, where you can commune with your Father without any disturbance. You know, there's this thing that, well, many of us, we don't have time, so we take our prayers on the road. We pray in our cars. But sometimes it is not enough. Because many times when we pray in our cars, when we pray at the office, there are people around us disturbing. So you can't have that time alone with your Father. And that is why it is important that we know the why of prayer. That when we come into the place of prayer, the beginning is with a relationship with our Father who is in heaven. You know, this is just me imagining also. I imagine that if you have a wardrobe or a closet, how many friends do you bring home to come with me? Let's go into my closet. You don't normally do that. You know, if you're a married person, maybe it's only your wife that will know your closet. So there are some things that have to be secret between you and your Father. There have some things that have to be between you and your Father alone. Some things that your Father will tell you in prayer that you're not supposed to tell everybody else. So this is the why, the number one reason why we come to prayer. Because you see, brothers and sisters, this is my daughter here, Tenny. She doesn't ask me to give, well, when she was in, before she started making her own money now, you know. She wouldn't ask me before I bought her clothes. She lived in my house not paying rent. She wouldn't ask me before I gave her food. Do you think your Heavenly Father will deny you of such? Do you need to beg God to give you your needs in life? No. Oh. Mommy, please. Oh, yeah, Bola, come and translate that too. Mommy said he's standing away rent now. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in also teaching this thing further, making us understand the gravity of it, he said that, look, if your earthly fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto their children, do you think I, your Heavenly Father, will deny you of anything good? Would you, as my child, ask for bread, and do you think I'll give you a stone? Would you ask for fish, and instead I'll give you a snake? So we have to know that when we come into that relationship, let's believe that God is our Father. A Father that loves us more than any earthly father can love us. Look at this man here. This is the child of his old age. He loves this boy so much. If anybody comes near, what he labored for? Hey, look at that woman there. You know, nothing, nothing. He's already made plans for him into the future. Did he ask for him to make plans? No, but there's a love that he has for this young man. There's a love that he has for him. You know, this is my pride and joy. This is my boy. As a mother, a big boy, right? Big man. You know, so there's a love that our Father has for us that nobody can, you don't need to beg God to love you. You don't need to beg God to provide for you. So that settles the why we come into prayer. So when we come into prayer, the first thing is not to begin to say, Lord, I need this, I need this. God is saying, my child, I know. You don't need to ask me for all these things. I know. I know. And then when we finish, I need this. Lord, see you tomorrow. We're gone. And God is saying, come, sit, let us reason together. Come, come, let us talk. All right. The second reason why we pray is the second part of where the Lord started. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. It's so that we, as the children of God, might establish the power and the glory of God in the affairs of men. So that we might establish the power and the glory of God in the affairs of men. When God created Adam and Eve, God created Adam before Eve, as the Bible tells us. He said to Adam, have dominion over all that I've created. And in the garden, he gave Adam the responsibility to do what to the garden. What does that mean? To take care of it. The Bible also tells us that all the animals that God created, who named them? Was it God? Man, Adam. So God gave Adam a responsibility. And that responsibility was to take care of his creation. God, the Bible tells us that God gave Adam something called dominion over all that he had made. As fierce as a lion is, when a person, when a man, first of all, comes in front of a lion, the lion will first run and then look back and size you. If it looks like, Brother Wale is good meat too. Then it will come near. But there's something about man and the creation of God being in awe of man, being afraid of man. No matter how wild the animal is, the first thing they do is to retreat. And then they can come back. And please, when they come back, don't steal. So, in like fashion, the creation of God, God hasn't left his creation without people to have dominion. And the dominion that Adam lost, Christ has redeemed it back unto the children of God today. That is why the Bible tells us that the world, the earth, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Many of us are not taking the place of this dominion because we do not know that God wants us to exercise the dominion that we can only receive by receiving power from the person who has created everything. Brothers and sisters, let me make clear what I'm telling you. There's something that, and as we go on, I will show you, there's something that we are not doing that we can only do in the place of prayer. There's something that God is waiting for us as his children to manifest upon this earth. There's something that God wants to pour into us that only if we knew And do you know something? The devil doesn't want us to know. Because if you are able to come into possession of what God determines for you, hey, you will be a terrorist to the kingdom of Satan. You know, we quote that passage. The kingdom of God. So, no, not that one. Where it says that we will come against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell will not, or what? Shall not prevail against. Now, when we quote that scripture, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. What, you know, that normally the picture that we have in our mind is that the host of hell, they are coming, and we as Christians, we are behind a gate, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. That is, when the enemy comes to attack, they won't be able to pass the gates of hell. Do you know that? I think God wants us to have a different picture. The picture that God wants us to have is the children of God assaulting the kingdom of Satan, that the gates that has hemmed them in, they will not prevail against us. They will not hold us back. We will break down the gates of hell and go and attack. It is not that we are shielded by a gate and we are retreating because they are attacking. No, brothers and sisters. God has given each and every one of us a dominion which was lost in Adam and regained in Christ and being given back unto each and every one of us. That is why the Bible tells us that when we come in the name of Jesus. That is the authority that we now bear. That at the mention of the name of Jesus, what will happen? Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Of all things in heaven. Of all things on earth. Of all things underneath the earth. All right. Let me show you where God wants us to be. Normally, when we come into the place of prayer, right? We hear the news. There's war where? In Gaza. There's war in Ukraine. Many people have forgotten the war in Sudan. Right? But there's war everywhere. So when we come to pray, we begin to pray, Lord, let there be peace. We hear that there's shooting in Columbine, shooting in, where was it recently? Arizona. Shooting. We come, pray, Lord, please, abate this. So we are reacting to the news, right? Brothers and sisters, we're not there yet. But one day, by the grace of God, we're going to get there. What God expects of us is we make the news, not react to the news. We make the news, not react to the news. A few weeks ago, I read about two old women. You know, one was 84 or 86. And one was 86 or 84 or 84 and 82. But they were in their 80s. They were sisters. One was blind. One had arthritis. And both of them came to the conclusion that, look, there are no young children in our parish any longer. You know how you come to some churches? The only people you find in those churches are the people who are either, if you say anybody below 70, nobody will put up their hand in church. We still thank God that we have a few that are teenagers here. But if we do not keep this on our knees, we too will come to the place where they will ask, is anybody below 70? They'll say no. These women found out that there's no youth in our church, but the discotheques are full of youth. The pubs are full of youth. The bars are full of youth. Why? And they decided they were going to pray. They were going to pray and seek the face of the Lord. And out of that prayer, I didn't read the conclusion of, you know, a revival came to the Scottish Hebrides, you know, the northern part of where I was born. I said, Brother Debo will make fun of me that these Nigerians have come again. You know, the northern parts of Scotland, the Scottish Hebrides, revival came. Now, out of that revival, there were many things that happened. You know, sometimes maybe I'll have some accounts to share with you. But let me share this account with us, brothers and sisters. One of the people who was moved to pray was a butcher. Do we know, Jemima, do you know what a butcher is? You know, what's a butcher? Who handles meat? Okay. And you know that chicken, they don't come from the safe way. Have you seen a live chicken before? Okay. So the butchers are the people who take all the live animals and then help you to get it to Safeway and Giant for you to buy. The praying butcher. Now, the person that God used during the time of this revival was somebody that these sisters saw in a vision that God was going to bring to their island. And the name of that man was Duncan Campbell. Now, Duncan Campbell, he never left the island without visiting the praying men. Because after the women had been praying for some months, the men within the town, they too said, look, let us too begin to pray. And they covenanted amongst themselves to begin to seek God until revival came down. Brothers and sisters, the times of these people were not even as bad as the times we live in. They were not contending with madness in society in the name of you can put any label you want on it today. And they covenanted amongst themselves that they were going to seek God for a revival to come. The world today, our society, is ripe for revival. But will God find men who are going to take him like Jacob took him and say, I will not let you go until you bless me? God is not looking for casual prayers, but for people who are hungry for something to happen. That is the only time something will happen. Now, Duncan Campbell, he said that he would not leave the island without visiting the praying men who had meant so much to him in the revival and with whom he had such affinity of spirit. He marveled at their discernment and worldwide vision in this northwestern island. Calling to see one of them, he arrived at the house to hear him in the barn praying for Greece. He went to see this man. What was the man doing? The man was in his barn praying for Greece. Okay. He could not understand what interest a butcher in Lewis, in the Scottish Hebrides, could have in Greece. What interest would a butcher have for Greece? How did you come to be praying for Greece today? He asked him later. Do you know where Greece is? No, Mr. Campbell, but God knows. And he told me this morning to pray for Greece. 2 years later, Duncan was introduced to a man in Dublin who told him the following story. He had gone to Greece on a business trip and was asked to speak to an assembly of Christians. The Spirit of God worked so powerfully that he continued preaching for a few weeks and phoned his brother in Ireland with instructions to look after the business until he returned. Duncan compared dates and discovered that the movement in Greece began on the same day that the butcher was praying in Lewis. The price for heaven-sent revival has never changed. Before the floods of the Holy Ghost conviction could sweep across the Isle of the Hebrides, strong men were broken before God, travailing in agony of prayer through the long hours of the night for months. To do this in spite of the demands of home and work, these men had to make time for waiting before God. This is perhaps the greatest problem besetting us today. We have all the modern luxuries of life to make work easier, and yet we cannot make time to pray. What a tragic paradox. Dr. Wilbur Smith very aptly stated the matter when he said, "I never get time to pray. I always have to make time to pray. I never get time to pray. I always have to make time to pray." Okay, this is the first account. Many of you have this book, right? I hope many of us have read it, because I have read it back to back. Rhys Howells was a person who God used, who was a man of intercession, a man of prayer. Let me read an account of something that happened during the Second World War. Just a few paragraphs here. On two further occasions, there were times of special concentration in prayer, one in the invasion of Italy and the other for D-Day. If you don't know what D-Day is, go and Google D-Day. In the battle for Italy, the danger spot was Salerno, where Allied troops were the Americans, the British, all the Allies. The Allied troop landed in September 1943 to capture some tragic heights and open the way for the invading forces from the south to reach Rome. The day of the landing at Salerno, its sequel will always be outstanding in my memory, says Dr. Simmons. We had the first evening prayer meeting, as usual, in the conference hall. Now, when he's talking about the conference hall, there's a place in Wales called the Bible College of Wales. You know, my wife and I, we went there a few years ago, where this man, Rhys Howells, where God used him. That was his base. And he gathered people that they were praying together. So they had a conference hall. He said, "We had the first evening prayer meeting as usual in the conference hall and gathered again at 9:45 p.m. for the late meeting at Derwentford." Derwentford is where the Bible College of Wales is. It had a solemn tone from the outset, the director's voice trembling with the burden of his message and scarcely audible as he said, "The Lord has burdened me between the meetings with the invasion at Salerno. I believe our men are in great difficulties, and the Lord has told me that unless we can pray through, they are in danger of losing their hold. The awe of God settled down upon us, for this came as a complete surprise. There had been no official news to this effect on the wireless, and we ourselves have previously had some rejoicing that Italy was at last on the point of being delivered from the fascist and Nazi tyranny. Before long, we were on our knees, crying to God for him to intervene. The Spirit took hold of us and suddenly broke right through in prayers, and we found ourselves praising and rejoicing, believing that God had heard and answered. We could not go on praying any longer, so we rose from our knees and began to sing praises. The Spirit witnessing in all our hearts that God had wrought some miraculous intervention in Italy. The victory was so outstanding that I looked at the clock as we rose at singing. It was at the stroke of 11 p.m. We waited to hear the midnight news. The announcer gravely told us in effect exactly that what the director had told us. Our troops were in danger of losing the beachhead before the morning. This only served to confirm to us the guidance of the Spirit, and we felt more confident than ever that the victory was certain. The news the next morning was more hopeful, but we eagerly awaited newspaper reports from the front. We were not disappointed. On the Thursday morning, one of the daily newspapers displayed a front page headline in large print, "The Miracle of Salerno." The account of the reporter personally at the front ran somewhat as follows. That reporter was in the front at Salerno. Ran as follows. "I was with our advanced troops in the invasion of Salerno on Monday. The enemy artillery was advancing rapidly and with ceaseless firing. The noise was terrible, and it was obvious that unless a miracle happened, our troops could never hold up to the advance long enough for the beachhead to be established. Suddenly. I love that word. Suddenly, for no accountable reason, the firing ceased. And the Nazi artillery stopped in advance, its advance. A deathly stillness settled on the scene. We waited in breathless anticipation, but nothing happened. I looked at my watch. It was 11 o'clock at night. Still, we waited. Nothing happened. And nothing happened all that night. But those hours made all the difference to the invasion. By the morning, the beachhead was established. Brothers and sisters, there's a place, and I am also learning it. There's a place where God wants us to make the news, not react to the news. God is waiting and looking for people like you and me. You know something, brothers and sisters? God doesn't use a multi, he doesn't use a crowd. I guess that is why he selected 12. And only people who will take God as his word would hold on to him that, God, I will not let you go until what you have promised, you do it. And our God is able to do it, brothers and sisters. He's willing to do it, but he's looking for men and women who will say, Lord, I am willing to take you at your word. I am a vessel that you can use in this place of prayer. We are not only to react to the news. We are to make the news. And the Lord is looking, waiting for each and every one of us. We've been seeing what is happening in our societies. We've been praying. But there's, you know, there comes a time where you now step it a little bit more. It's no longer about eating and drinking and paying the rent, paying the mortgage. The needs of life God has provided. Like we said, we now begin to say, Lord, in this world, what would you have me do? And if God can count on a few, he's able to change the world just like he changed it with 12. We start in a small place. We don't start with taking, you know, we don't start with what's this kind of prayer that Rhys Howells prayed. We pray that, Lord, and we've been praying it. Within this church, we have not seen people born again. Begin to bring them. That is our lion and our bear. And as we do that, we'll now begin to claim nations. Lord, we are going to Trinidad and Tobago. Soften the land. Bring forth harvest in that land. For us, that is currently our Goliath. But we cannot attack Goliath without having conquered our bear and our lion. It's like that for us as a church. And it's the same way for us as individuals. Brothers and sisters, if you've never been a place of praying, you need to start praying. You can start with your daily needs if you don't know how to. But then you have got to progress beyond what you need, what you want, to what God's will is for this world, for this age, for this day. The Bible tells us about the sons of Issachar, that they understood the times because God works differently at different times. What is God doing in our time? We have got to begin to have men and women who are discerning, who are allied with the Spirit of God, to saying, this is what God is doing currently. But that will not come until we make a concerted effort, individually, first of all, to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. To have a relationship with our Father. And my prayer, my own hunger right now, is that we all, as a church, will be plugged into God this way in prayer. Is that we all, as a church, will be, our knees will be bruised daily, until we see the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. There is a revival that God is going to make happen at the end, but God is waiting. It's not that God cannot do it, but may God not choose stones over me. God is waiting, and may he find us willing and ready in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let's start practicing it. Is there any sick in your household? Lay hands on them and pray for them, believing God is able to heal them. Is there any wayward child, wayward brother or sister? Get on your knees and pray. God is saying, I'm able to do it. You might have been doing it and doing it and doing it, and it has not yet come to pass. Don't give up. Don't give up. Like the travail of that we talked about, when we travail in prayer, travail is something a woman in birth goes through. Does a woman in birth know when the baby is going to come? No. It's as if the baby will come, the birth pang will come, it will subside. It will come, but eventually the baby will come. Sometimes it could be for hours. Sometimes some women are in travail for days until the baby comes. But the baby eventually will be birthed. That is the picture God is showing us. Let us not give up if we've been praying for family members, if we've been praying for our children, if we've been praying for our parents. Let us not give up. God is able to do it. God wants to do it. We are going into a time of prayer and fasting. Take it as an experiment. Take some time to set your face before God. Deny yourself of food and seek the face of God. Call upon him. Lay a hold on him. And don't let go until you say, God, you have promised that you will pour water on the thirsty ground. You have promised that when we seek you with all our hearts, you will hear us. You have promised, Lord, that when I obey you, when you are and pleasing unto you, you will grant the desires of our hearts. Let us begin to take that, my brothers and sisters. When we're able to conquer the lion and the bear, the Goliath will be only a matter of time. Amen. Let us pray. Precious Lord, once again, we say thank you as you are teaching us in this journey of prayer what you have also been teaching me and learning, O Lord. That many times we come and the things that you have already said that you will answer, you will provide, we bother ourselves much with it. Lord, my prayer as I have been praying, make us men and women of prayer. Make us men and women who can covenant with one another to seek you until something happens. Do something in our generation, O Lord. All these ones that we have been reading of the past generations, they sought you. You brought down revival. You made news because of them. Lord, we are no different. We are no different in people, but they were hungry. They believed you for your word. Oh, Father, may you help us in our time. May you help us in our generation, oh Lord, that we too, like Jacob, will be able to lay a hold and say, Lord, bless me. Bless me. And tarry in the place of travail until we see, Lord, the reason for the travail of our souls. Father, help us with your grace, for we know that prayer is not easy. And except you pour your grace, O Lord, it will be drudgery. So we pray by your Spirit that you'll pour your grace upon our prayers, O Lord, that it will be easy, that it will be fruitful, it will be enjoyable in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Close, let us rise and give the grace and fellowship. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.